wondrous a creation of God you and I are. It's not just the marvelously complex, integrated, functional design of all of our many body parts. We should appreciate all by itself. But that God made us to have both a physical body as well as a soul. The soul, the non-physical part of us, from which arise our feelings, from which arise our conscience, from which arise our thoughts, our wills, our personalities. Now, the Bible frequently calls our non-physical self our heart. And God, and an amazing aspect of us who are God's creation, is that the state of our soul, the state of our hearts, is reflected in our faces. In other words, the face that you and I present to the world gives evidence of the state of our heart. So if our hearts are joyful, rejoicing, glad, merry, cheerful, our faces will reflect our hearts. If our hearts are, on the other hand, depressed, if they're sad, despondent, sorrowful, brooding, that too is reflected by our faces. That's a truth. That's a reality that God's word teaches us. It affirms it for us. Proverbs do that. So listen again. We read this in Proverbs 15:13. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Another helpful translation of this proverb is this: a joyful heart brightens one's face, but in a troubled heart, a broken spirit. We also heard the wisdom that teaches us by what means the heart, again, reflected by our faces, to some degree at least, the means by which our heart becomes either depressed or glad. Proverbs 12:25, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. And we also heard the wisdom that tells us there's an intimate connection, because of the way God created us, there's an intimate connection between the health of the physical body and the state of the heart, the state of the soul. Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. And we heard David speak of that in Psalm 32. That it's true that the state of your and my heart, the state of our souls, whether we're glad, happy, or whether we're anxious, depressed, broken spirited, that's reflected in our faces. You know, it's a truth we all experience. We know that's the case. You know, if we hang around with each other long enough, we fellowship with each other, and if we note the prevailing it seems to be characteristic of that person's face, especially when they don't think we're watching them. People are just sitting, whatever. If we observe their faces, we at least get an inkling of whether the other is sad or happy. God tells us that our faces reveal, in some measure, the state of our hearts. And ask yourself, how often have you, just by the look on their face, asked someone, what's wrong? It's an indicator. Or if they've been looking downcast, now their faces reflect something different. There's joy, cheer. We might say to them, it's good to see you so happy. Now think about this. If God created us so our faces were just blanks, they wouldn't reveal anything about our state of our soul, our state of our hearts. If that was the case, which thankfully it's not, we would miss all these flags that God gives us by way of faces that might motivate us to compassion, to encouragement, to help for sad-looking brother or sister or neighbor. God has our faces reflect where we're at in our depth, in our soul, in our hearts. And because of that, we have opportunity to encourage, to comfort. On the other hand, to rejoice with one who has a happy face. So remember the proverb, anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. So you and I are given clues that someone out there might have an anxious heart. And so in compassion, we might speak a gladdening good word to them. Now Jesus, who being God, did not need to see the faces of his disciples to know that they had anxious hearts. When they were troubled, you know, we read in the Gospels that Jesus had told his disciples, I'm going to be leaving you, speaking of his death and then his ascension. They were troubled. They didn't get this. He would leave them who they've been around, eaten with, heard his word. And what does Jesus say to them? John 14, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in me. Now, the truth of our Proverbs would have applied to Jesus' disciples. Their faces would have reflected their troubled hearts. Had we been there to see their faces, we most likely would have picked up that their hearts were not glad, but troubled, sad, downcast. Now, what does Jesus say to them? He doesn't just say, let not your hearts be troubled. He says, believe in me. Believe in me. And why would he say that? Believe in me. What does he want them when he says, let not your hearts be troubled? What kind of hearts does he want them to have? He wants them to have joyful hearts, glad hearts, merry hearts. And how does that come? By believing in Jesus Christ. So when you and I, by facial expressions and also, you know, body language shows up in the countenance as well, if we observe what looks like someone with a troubled heart, you know, what do they really need? They need to believe the good news, the good word, the gospel. They need to believe in the crucified, resurrected, risen, and the one ruling with all authority in heaven and earth, Jesus Christ. That's how to have a merry heart, a glad heart, a joyous heart, believing in Jesus Christ. So, you know, one of the things that we should become better at as Christians is to be observers of faces. Especially, you know, faces that we see fairly often and just kind of see what kind of a face they show prevailingly most of the time. Because that might be an opportunity for us to witness Christ to them. See, within the church, as we are those that by faith in Christ Jesus are called to live more consistently the joyful new life we have in him, that's our calling. Rejoice always in Christ. Well, if in the church, in our fellowship, we see a face of a brother or a sister, that can indicate that there's a need there of encouragement to live in joy in Christ. Or we can affirm to one another when someone is joyous the joy that we do have as we believe in Jesus Christ, who will come back and take us to glory. So we should ask ourselves then and answer the question from God's inscripturated word, who can have a merry, glad, rejoicing, joyful heart? Who can have such a heart so that it's reflected, you know, prevailingly by their face? Now here's a word of caution. Obviously, we should be able to discern between a merry, cheerful heart as the world thinks of it, because that's quite different from what the scriptures mean by a joyful, merry, cheerful heart. You know, there's that fleeting cheerfulness that can show up on somebody's face of being entertained. You know, you laugh at a joke, you hear a funny story, or you're happy because the movie had a happy ending, or you've had a pleasant experience, you've done something you like to do, or you're happy because somebody flattered you, or maybe drinking or drugs have elevated your mood. Those things can give a facial expression that might have nothing to do with a joyful heart. But we should realize that all those sorts of happy, merry, worldly happy, merry, that can be stimulated by engaging in the lust of the flesh, by pleasing the sinful nature. The old man can be quite happy and cheerful for a while because it doesn't satisfy. But whatever the world provides that can make us happy and cheerful, whatever the world provides that can make us visibly happy and cheerful, it's fleeting at best. And it cannot make the heart truly happy, lastingly happy, joyful, rejoicing, so that our countenance, our faces are characterized by joy and gladness and rejoicing. So who can truly have a joyful, glad, rejoicing heart? A heart characterized by happiness. A heart that can rejoice even in hardship and suffering. Even in sorrowful and hurtful circumstances. Well, we find the scriptural key to that. Who can have a happy heart? In Psalm 32, which we read. And you find it in other places of scripture as well. Listen again. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. That's in whose spirit there is no deceit, meaning one who recognizes his sinfulness before God, not lying to God. Yeah, I'm a sinner. But as his sins are forgiven, he rejoices, he's blessed. Now, what's good to know is that the word that's translated blessed here in Psalm 32 is the same word translated happy in Proverbs 16:20, which you didn't read, but it says, whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. So those of happy hearts are those blessed. Same thing, blessed, happy, because they have heard and believed the good word. They believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. They trust in the Lord to have their sins forgiven them. And so a merry heart, a joyful heart, a rejoicing heart, a glad heart is the heart of those who live in the comfort that their sins are forgiven. And how does this blessedness, this happiness of heart come about? Well, Jesus said to the paralytic, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. So by trusting in the Lord, trusting by faith in his mercy to forgive the sins of us sinners, through the work of the Lord come in the flesh, Christ Jesus, that's how you get a happy heart. And how do you come to know of this forgiveness of sins? It's by the good word. A good word makes a heart merry. The good word, the gospel, Jesus Christ, what he has come to do, what he did, what he will yet do for us, what he's doing for us right now. So by trusting in the Lord, by the good word, to be right with God, that we are justified by Christ's work, we can and ought to be of good cheer. Our faces ought to reflect that. That we have a cheerful, joyful, happy, rejoicing heart. Because the cheerful heart is that way because of its assurance of faith that even though I am a sinner who has and is yet offending my holy God by my sin and am deserving of eternal punishment, yet through the cross of Jesus Christ, my sins, all of my sins, are forgiven by faith in him. So again, another reference to Matthew 9, where Jesus saw the faith of the paralytic. He saw the faith of those who brought him. He saw the faith of the helpers and of the paralytic. And he said, son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. So their faith, that faith by which their sins were forgiven, was faith in Christ Jesus, who would go. In that passage, he's still on our way to the cross, but he would go to the cross to gain that forgiveness for all of his own, all who would come to trust in him. Gain that forgiveness by suffering their punishment in their place. So Jesus spoke the good word that cheers the heart. Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. When the disciples were in the boat being tossed about by the waves, and Jesus comes walking to them on the water, they were afraid. He says, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. See, the good word is the gospel that assures us who trust in the Lord that he is always with us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He's interceding continually with us as our high priest in heaven with the Father when we sin down here below. And he's always present with us as he is the omnipresent sovereign God. And if we believe that by faith, there is no reason ever to fear, never to be anxious. Remember Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. See, the good work of Jesus Christ, that he, as we trust in him to be our Savior, to be our Redeemer, our Lord with all authority in heaven and earth, our Good Shepherd. We who hear the good word, we should have a merry heart because we can say to the other psalmist, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So we whose trust in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord, are blessed. We're happy because we are accepted by God in Christ, holy, accepted by the holy and righteous and just God, no longer under his condemnation, restored to his favor as we are cleansed of our sin by the work of Jesus Christ, his shed blood. And we have everlasting life in the resurrected Christ. And that's true in all of the circumstances of our life. When we're suffering hardship, when we're suffering pain, when we're suffering hurt, and when our faces, because of that, become sad, we need to hear the good word again and again and again to have us be of good cheer. See, the good word that makes a cheerful countenance, the good word tells us that whatever we're going through, it's temporary. It's only as we're on the journey towards glory, towards blessings such as eye has not seen nor ear heard nor has entered into the heart of man, as we confess. And a lot of times we think that what we're going through, whatever it might be, physically, emotionally, persecution, you know, that hey, look at that. No wonder I'm not of good cheer. Think back historically to the first deacon, Stephen. Read about him in Acts 6 and 7. He was being persecuted for his faith in the Lord. Those against him had raised up false witnesses to claim he had blasphemed the Lord, that he had blasphemed all that was holy to the Jews. And because of that, he knew that death was impending. He was about to leave this earth. He was about to become a martyr for his faith in Jesus Christ. In all of that, Stephen's countenance did not fall. His heart did not lose its cheer, its joy, its gladness. And that was reflected by his face. Listen to the end of Acts 6. It says, and gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Well, the meaning there is that his face showed no fear, no anxiety. It had a majesty about it as Stephen trusted in the Lord. You know, King David, when he was demonstrating his trust in the Lord, it said of him that he was like the angel of God. You know, there was a certain resoluteness in his face come by faith in the Lord. That's what Stephen had. Not fear, but knowing where he was going, trusting in the Lord, rejoicing that he would be there. And in all the circumstances of Stephen and many others that we can recount in church history and the scriptures, even in the threat of imminent danger, these people looked for the resurrection. They looked for the better life. And they were not willing to have this earthly suffering end for the sake of no longer suffering, but they looked ahead to what was theirs in Christ. So, of Stephen we read, because he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. So Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit because he had heard the good word and he had Christ's Spirit indwelling. That's how he became full of the Spirit. So by faith, Stephen's faith, believing the gospel, believing what he heard, believing in the Jesus Christ crucified and exalted and ruling at the right hand of God. You know, Stephen then goes on to, before they stone him to death, he Luke records in about like 50 verses, he talks, recounts what Stephen all does. He recounts the whole history of redemption from Abraham all the way to the time when the Jews killed the one that the prophets had looked forward to, even the Son of God, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. So Stephen heard the good word from the Old Testament scriptures. And he heard the word made flesh, Jesus Christ. And he trusted in the Lord, even as his earthly life was in the gravest of danger, when he saw Jesus at the right hand of God, that is, having all authority in heaven and earth. He knew that this too, this circumstance that would normally cause anxiety for him, did not cause him anxiety, because he trusted that he who had all power would work it for his good. And that's what we confess too. Even whatever dangers we might face, we know that our death is not a satisfaction for sin, but it's gain, as Paul says. It's our entering into eternal life. That gave him a cheerful heart, a cheerful countenance. What we should have as well, as we think of the truth, what Jesus has done, what he's doing now, and what we will experience at his return. So again, anxiety, fear, distrust, whatever it might be, it wears, if it's in your heart, it weighs down a man. That's what Proverbs tells us. But a good word makes him glad. A glad heart makes a cheerful face, but by sorrow of heart, the spirit is crushed, and it shows up in our faces. So again, Stephen had a glad heart. His spirit was not crushed by his earthly terrible circumstances. As Isaiah promised through the Jesus Christ of whom Isaiah was prophesying, God would give beauty for ashes, sunshine for gloom, gladness instead of mourning, and he would give them praise instead of having a faint spirit. You and I should reflect often about what Christ has done for us so that we experience and see by his life for us, by his death for us, by his ruling for us, beauty for ashes, gladness instead of mourning, no matter our circumstances, praise instead of having a faint spirit. So that's what you get when you believe the good word. Now, Stephen was granted a vision of Jesus in heaven. He, with his eyes, looked, and there he saw Jesus at the right hand of God. But you and I see Jesus as our Savior and Lord, who is ruling at the right hand of God, who is always present with us, who fills us with the Spirit. We see Jesus just as much with the eyes of faith. We're more blessed because we haven't seen and yet believe. We see with the eyes of faith. And as we see Jesus as we're looking to him, looking to his word, abiding in his word, we see that Jesus, in whom our sins are forgiven, in whom we have life everlasting, we can show a cheerful face even in our distresses, even in our hardships, even in our dangers, in our persecutions, a joyful heart, which we should have as we look to Jesus. A joyful heart makes a cheerful countenance. That's what scriptures teach us. And again, why will we have a cheerful countenance? Because our faces then reflect our joy, our good cheer, our rejoicing in our hearts that our sins are forgiven through Jesus Christ, that he's at the right hand of God, ruling over all things, so that all things work together for good. And nothing in all the creation, none of our hardships, will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. That's the good word we need to be hearing. Hearing it in church, preaching it to ourselves in our troubled lives. And so in the assurance of faith, what are we called to do? We're called to be rejoicing, always rejoicing. That implies that we have a cheerful countenance because of the joy we have in Christ. Now, I suspect that we all know from our own personal journey of faith that in hardships, in trials, in difficult, hurtful, tormenting, even deadly situations, we are prone to start thinking that God is neglecting us, that God has even forsaken us. If he hadn't, why are we where we're at? We tend to think, or we allow ourselves to think that way. And such doubts, if we allow them to persist, only lead us to spiral down into becoming even more anxious, even more fearful. And if not checked, we can fall into despondency and gloomy dispositions that show up in our faces. And if we allow ourselves to let our anxieties to wear heavy on our hearts, which is what we're prone to do, ask yourself this: can you serve as a witness to Christ? So we ought to be watchful, beloved, that all the earthly things that can and do affect our bodily health, that can affect our mind, that can affect our emotions, that can affect all of us, we should be very careful and diligent to be abiding in the good word, lest we allow difficult faith-trying circumstances to sink us into gloomy brooding and sadness that takes away our rejoicing always in Christ and his benefits. That can happen to us. I've observed it. You probably have been there as well, at least seen it in somebody if you haven't experienced even yourself. And so, beloved, we should take to heart what the scriptures teach us, what Proverbs teaches us, that a merry heart, a good word makes a merry heart, a happy countenance. So we need to hear the good word over and over and reflect upon our sins are forgiven. We have everlasting life and we will enjoy it in its fullness when Christ comes back. Whatever our circumstances are now, that's true. That's the assurance we have by faith in Jesus Christ. And so I pray that all of us would, including myself, always be hearing these great truths so that we might, as a commentator put it, have faces that are lit up with joy. Because if our countenance is cheerful and merry and joyful, how much more effective will we be to lead others to enjoy the same joy and peace and comfort and assurance of sins forgiven, everlasting life, if we exude this joy in our countenance, we might be much more effective, we will be more effective to lead others to Christ Jesus. And so let us take to heart these proverbs. They're true. God has made us this way. The state of our heart is reflected by our countenance. And the state of our heart is based on believing or not believing all the truth of Scripture, or believing in Jesus Christ. Let us believe in Him every time we hear Him, so that our hearts may be joyful and our countenance might be evangelistically joyful for the building of His church. Amen.